Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Welcome, everybody. Hey, this is Mitch sitting in for Jim. I was thinking he said he had something to do today, but I wasn't 100% sure after I had to take somebody to the doctor's on Wednesday. So I missed the last part of the show on Wednesday. So I hope y'all are having a great day. God bless you. Jim must be out on a medical type appointment. Wait a minute. I thought that might have been Jim, but that's just my here on Studio B. Hey, this show today is going to be a two-hour call-in show. How's that sound? Something that people rarely get to do here is they only get to respond to the hosts. When right now you can call in. And you can drive the show today. Yes, howdy, you over in the chat room. Howdy from Studio B's. Hey, anyway. looks like Jim is absconded for today. I didn't see an email. Hey, Gear Jammer, Mountain Devil, Jim Jones, all in the Revolution.radio freedom, not chat room. Morning, Malaya. Afternoon, wherever you are. She says 700 people sentenced to jail in France over violent protests. Well, I just wrote they arrested 700, but the town itself is very
lots of protests going on around the world, people standing up and fighting against the new world order.
So anyway, I hope y'all are having a great day. God bless you.
Hey, here is Anonymous is calling us. All right, I hope they connect. A lot of times an anonymous caller will not connect. It's a Skype thing. It's not me, guys. So if you're an anonymous caller, Skype will not accept your number because, well, I guess it's Skype. Okay, I'm sorry, Anonymous. Whoever just tried to call at 12:05, I don't have a name, a number, or a text message. If you would text me that number, I would call it back. But the Skype will not allow me to connect anonymous calls. That's right. The CIA, the FBI, the NSA, they must know who they're talking to. They must know who they're talking about. Yeah. Anyway. Oh, look, they left a voice message. All right. Here, let's what it say. Mitchell, this is Jim. Oh. Okay. Let me get a hold of John Carmen. Yeah, I forgot all about it, John. I apologize. Where am I at? Now I've lost my little. Anyway, so yeah. Let me call his number here since I have John's number. Not many do, I guess. Anyway, Jim is out today. He's got medical stuff. And I'll be honest, I forgot about John coming in. And I couldn't take his first call because of the anonymous. Skype won't let me take an anonymous call. John, good morning. John, how you doing out there?
Yeah, good morning. Let me pause you. There we go. I just rebooted the computer. Are we on?
No, that's okay.
Audio,
yes,
or video?
This is audio only.
Okay, good.
And here, what I'll do is I'll start to record this show. And that way it'll be on this Skype call, and it'll also be in the Revolution Radio archives.
Great.
So we'll double do it. But there you go, John. You've got it. I forgot that you were going to a guest host today. I knew Jim was going to be out, and, you know, I've just been so busy around here where I'm at.
And there's lots of stuff going on, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, that's too bad you can't put a picture of me up there, or should I send a picture to you?
If you send a picture to me, I'll get it up there in the chat room for you.
Let's see if I could do it on the chat.
You should be able to. Maybe.
Yeah, because it's kind of cool to look at a picture of somebody you're talking to type of deal. But
right.
Yeah, I'll pull one up. Hold on. Lots to talk about. Hold on. Yeah, I've been scrambled all over the place doing all kinds of interviews and things like, especially stuff that happened at the White House. Yeah, a lot of people don't get what security is, but yet I worked there since 1974, and I was doing counterterrorism activity at the Foreign Missions Division where we protected the embassies. And eventually, I was finding a lot of stuff out there, suspicious packages. They were doing bombings at the embassies,
right?
Letter bombs at the British embassy. I protected the Russian embassy at 1609 16th Street, which is now moved up way up north at the north end of the Connecticut Avenue. That was only like two and a quarter blocks away, walking distance to the White House, you know. That's pretty interesting in and of itself because it was that close. In other words, if they had a problem, they could just call the ambassador and say, hey, come on over, and he could just walk across the park and he would be there. Yeah, I'm going to throw this one up.
Yeah, I don't buy, you know, this idea that they didn't have surveillance and they don't know who put that stuff in that letterbox and stuff. I just find that a whole load of horse shit.
Yeah.
Because as you said, you know, what you know, depending on the size of these cubicles, you know, you could fit a block of C4 in there.
That's true. You wouldn't need a block of it. I just sent a photo, so I don't know if you have to add it or do something to it.
Okay. Yeah, I can get it.
Okay. That's what I looked like probably 15, 20 years ago, doing an interview in front of the administration building, right outside the Los Angeles administration building from Fox News or Channel 11, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just went on a tour of the Midway in San Diego just a week and a half ago, and they have scanning systems so that when you walk through their scanner, it's so sophisticated, a Girl Scout could do it, or a Brownie, okay? Let's be really generous. It identifies with special yellow rectangular blocks that kind of go over parts of your body. And if it looks like, oh, that's suspicious, or they see a bulge, then that gives the security guard who has no brains or background or training an idea that, oh, I want to look at that. You see what I mean? It's not a magnetometer. It doesn't detect metal. It's a scan like a CT scan. If you're familiar with a CT scan medically, those are very quick, non-intrusive, and medically very safe, as opposed to some corrupt doctors and just say California alone, which I've debunked quite a few. They want to send you in for a 4.5-hour deal. It's intrusive, shoot in a radioactive dye through your vein so they can make it go throughout your body versus an iodine, which they can also inject, and it only takes a few minutes. Once it goes into the blood system, they can identify whatever they want for like a heart or kidney issues and things like that. But yeah, I don't see it coming up. But anyway, I went through the deal and had to empty my pockets, and I'm getting too old for this stuff, so I have to ride the elevator to the top of the conning tower or the flight deck and things like that. But I got to see their security system. That was the point. But I got transferred to the White House after I received some death threats. Imagine that. I'm in the Secret Service and I got death threats. I guess that's because I showed up some personnel that were probably asleep at 3 a.m. when I was out walking around doing the patrol, sneaking around, ninja stuff, looking for Carlos the Jackal. If you remember that guy, Elias Ramirez Sanchez,
yes.
That guy goes way back to 1972 when they had the Munich massacre. And then, of course, Golda Meir had their Mossad agents go out and go back after the people associated with that massacre. Rightfully so. That guy was still on the loose. They were setting off bombs even right next to the Aeroflot, which is right next to the Russian embassy on 16th Street. Do you know what building is on the opposite side behind the Russian embassy on 15th Street, if you know D.C.?
No, not at all. Not a clue.
A big building called the Washington Post.
Wow.
Yeah. So they did the distribution and stuff even from that building. But it's so interesting. We had to have a guy in the back alley, a guy up in the front on 16th Street, and you could face the other way, and there's cameras and all kinds of places that you wouldn't believe. So that if you fell asleep, dropped dead or something, they'd be calling on the radio and contacting people at the White House and Secret Service from like two or three or four different agencies just to let them know something's going on. Because that's an international type of an incident. It's foreign soil, by the way. Anytime you're on embassy property, you're on foreign soil, which means typically I would have to go on foreign soil every night. So I basically visited hundreds of countries in just less than 3.5 years, basically. When Vietnam fell in 75, the Egyptian embassy was there, and so was the Vietnamese embassy. And when it fell in Saigon, I was over there looking around because they had all kinds of cipher machines and burnt ID cards they were trying to get rid of before they left. Kind of like what the USS Pueblo did off the shore in international waters, allegedly off Korea years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They were a spy ship, and they were burning all kinds of stuff, and they got captured by the Koreans. That was Commander Bucher, I believe. He retired out in San Diego later. But going back to the White House, I'm the guy that interviewed John W. Hinckley in front of the White House at the gate, main gate, where you might enter if you drove in. You can't do it like they used to anymore because they have the whole area blocked off because of security reasons. And I knew they had security problems back then. But I turned Hinckley over to the duty agent because Hinckley was talking about microwaves in his head, sexually related terms, and Jodie Foster. And I said, that's a combination. Because you remember that movie Taxi Driver with Robert De Niro and Jodie Foster?
Yeah.
That's the profile. This guy's psychologically imbalanced. He goes into a movie and watches this information, and he's influenced. And I don't know if it was subliminal or not, like we all think that subliminal messages are put into certain movies and cartoons, and even the Frame 313 of the Zapruder film, Altered. I could talk about that, too. And I've seen the Altered film during training. But after I turned Hinckley over to the duty agent, as soon as I told him about Jodie Foster, he got all excited. I was, oh, I want to talk to this guy. Well, just make sure you spell my name right on the report and get him to St. Elizabeth's tonight. And I got to go look for Carlos the Jackal. That was in 76. I was still at the other division. But by the time I got transferred over to the White House, it got even more interesting because I've had to make arrests of people jumping the fence. A black guy that jumped over the fence disguised as an agent with a three-piece, two-piece suit with a briefcase. But I already had the alarms set off, so I go out and run around to the back lawn, South Lawn area. I had an ex-Marine supervisor following me, and I got my gun out, and I'm not yelling too loud, but enough that he knew I was Secret Service. Stop right there. You're in a restricted area. What's in the briefcase? He said papers. So I said, toss it to your right, which would be to my left. And it looked light. You know what I mean? I could tell right. It was light by the way it moved, the way it hit, the sound that it hit on the lawn. So I have to measure all these things that people don't get. They just assume a lot of things. But being highly trained, I was more trained when I went to U.S. Customs years later, processing 4 to 5 million humans at the border. So anyway, I talked to this guy real quick. What are you here for? What's this, that, and the other? And I'm asking him his name, and he said, well, what do you want to know that for? And it's unusual for a suspect to ask me that. So I said, I want to know where to send the body. Now get down on your knees, put your hands behind your back. And I went up and cuffed him and searched him. That's back to the question. Yeah, I want to know where to send the body. That's kind of like a Clint Eastwood moment. You know what I mean?
Right.
It wasn't planned, but it was the response I gave him because he was acting stupid. And when you have a gun out, loaded, ready to shoot somebody and terminate them, two to the chest, one to the head, is the training for Secret Service. We're not trained to kill like the 007 stuff. We can't do that. It's not politically correct, right? We're just trained to shoot to stop the threat. That's the key. Stop the threat. So anyway, the supervisor's like trying to act like a supervisor. Say, okay, walk him up to the north gate through there. I said, no, I'm not going to walk him up through there. I'm going to walk him around the West Wing, Oval Office, and he wanted me to go between the Oval Office, West Wing area to the actual residence of the mansion, which would take him into a very serious secured area. What if he had some sort of a device planted inside of him?
Right.
A remote controlled device, and somebody else could have set him off. See what I mean?
Yes.
I think there was a good movie, Man on Fire. There were two of them, but the second one was with Denzel Washington. People need to watch that movie because it kind of relates to what I know. And they used a charger that was secreted inside the subject's body. And he could set it off with a phone call or something. See what I mean?
Yes.
The technology that people don't realize that we have to deal with, or I had to deal with, I was more advanced than what they thought that they had. You know what I mean? So it's crazy. Biological, anthrax, drones are restricted from flying in the area of Washington, D.C. at 15.5 square miles because they could fly around and drop nanoparticles of fentanyl or something, just to give you an example. Or any other kind of biological weapon in nanoparticles, they could wipe out half or part of D.C. if they wanted to, if they did it from a larger aircraft or something. So anyway, I took that guy, dropped him off at the Northwest Gate, and then he has to go through that process. And I never heard anything back on that one. When they come through to visit, I'll give you an example. I ran into a couple of staff members from Governor Wallace's office, a couple of ladies, very straight. I just happened to talk to them, told my, you know, they asked, oh, what do you do? I work for the government, like everybody in D.C. works for the government or something. And then eventually found out they were leaving like Monday, and they really wanted to go to the White House. I said, what if I could get you a quick tour of something? You know, oh, that would be so great. And I don't normally do that. In fact, that was a one-time deal. But I checked them out. I evaluated them. I checked their IDs. So I finally showed them a credential and said, hey, I happen to work there. I'll give you a quick tour if you go through the restrictions or whatever. I have to search them or check their purse or whatever, make sure. So I said, fine. Took them in my car, go up to the gate at nighttime. Lights everywhere. Supervisors coming up, checking me out. They knew who I am. I introduced the ladies, and they were innocent. They were checked out and everything. And I parked right at the actual door in Executive Avenue, where I would park and could go straight through a doorway there, and then check an elevator to the floor that would go down the hallway to the Oval Office. Now, a lot of the media that's going out since then, the last week or two, is misrepresenting that it was at the north gate entrance going through the west wing where the Marine stands and opens a door. You know, the unarmed guy that opens the door. That's not happening. Yeah. That's not where they went through. That's not what's going on. There's a different procedure, different system. Now, think about that. If they've got a system set up at the other end, why would they go through the other part, which is not being secured in the same manner? But it is, but it's just the interpretation of what they're putting out. So I go through a security system that's not the same as today. They're basing it on my background and training, expertise, previous incidents that I've handled, and my background. And I get to the Oval Office, and it's roped off, and they already have my name plus two. Now, think about it. If I was bringing Monica Lewinsky in, they'd probably put my name plus Monica Lewinsky, because she's a member of staff, but I'm escorting her. But one plus two, et cetera. And all they got to do is look at the Oval Office at a distance, fully secured. Another agent is there. I'm there. Nothing's going to happen. And that's it. They would have had to have left the next morning. There's no tours on Saturday. There's no tours on Sunday. And I believe Monday was a day off. They were leaving. So that was my little gift to Governor Wallace's staff. No political implications. Took them back, had a nice conversation, and went back and left the facility and out on Pennsylvania Avenue. And that was it. Nowadays, you can't even drive through unless you get certain areas opened up on Pennsylvania Avenue for security reasons, and that's good. But let's go back to the procedure where they walk through a simulated magnetometer screening process, kind of like that CT scan I was explaining. If you walk in, but I just remembered Gary Byrne, who's the author of Crisis of Character. He's a former uniform officer, and I've talked to him. He's a good guy, and he had to deal with the Clintons, and he saw a lot. One time on a YouTube, so if you YouTube search Gary Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E, YouTube, White House, you may come up with a video where two females were scheduled to come in and actually see something at the White House. I think they were going to go do an interview with a staff member at the time. I forget the staff member's name, but that's not important. But the problem is, one female wore a secret seed mic in her blouse, and if you know what your button looks like, it's enough that it would fit on the inside of a button, just the seed mic. Maybe smaller. They had a video device that was fit into a purse, a Gucci bag, or maybe a satchel, because they had a bunch of their stuff and equipment or something they were going to bring in. So they illegally recorded and came in. In fact, I caught a guy took a camera flash when I was at the bottom of the floor of the White House, and a female staff member brought some people in. And as soon as the flash went off, I looked left, and there was a big, tall guy. I recognized him right away. So I went right over to this really tall white guy with real bleached white hair and took his camera. I said, I handed my hand out and said, okay, give me the camera. He gave me the camera. It seized, and I'm asking who the staff member was, and I took her pass. And they get really weird about when you take their pass because that's like a security blanket. They know they're in trouble. The guy that I took his camera from was like 6'4" or 6'5". You ever hear the name Andy Warhol?
Yeah.
Andy Warhol. He took my picture without my permission and Secret Service's permission. So supervisor had to come over. But again, I'm not impressed with supervision. They're making lots of mistakes while I'm there, and I'm adding them up. And when they get to a certain amount, that's when I start bailing out. I said, no, I need to transfer out of this place. They're making too many mistakes. And that's the Secret Service. It's the epitome of law enforcement, and I was one of the best trained prior to that. Speak several languages. It's like a James Bond profile. Martial arts, black belt, speak several languages, traveled to top secret military bases all of my life up to age 20. College educated, all these things. And I worked with Naval Intelligence at China Lake, up at Naval Weapons Center, China Lake in the desert. So I've got a background already, but it added on, you know. But that's just one other incident that happened. I'll tell you another one that coincides.
We got a break coming.
Oh, sure. Go
about
ahead.
Right now. It's just rolling in. I'm not triggering it. They're automatic at 27 and 57.
Sure.
John. Oh, there it
there
is. So, all right, we'll be right back in a few minutes.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. We have John Carman sitting in for Dr. James Fetzer. You there, John?
Yes, sir.
All right. What's going on today? I mean, boy, I'm telling you, what have they done to our government and the Department of Justice?
Well, it's changed quite a bit. I'm still finagling a cool screenshot thing, if I can pull it up or not. There we go.
There, I see it, yeah.
If I can X this other thing out. Now, that's the West Wing. That's actually in reverse. You can see the Secret Service agent with an MP5 or whatever with his ID on a lanyard. That is the actual wing that I parked outside of and walked inside to the West Wing. Now, that's not up on top of the area where the Marine is. That's way off to the left up at another level. So if I can kind of move around there, that's when they had a bomb scare and they had people evacuate. And that's kind of an important deal. But I'm glad I finagled that up there because it gives people a visual and then they can go, oh, yeah, that's where they walk in. And if you walk straight in and go slightly to your left, that's where security systems set up. And if you go to the right, that's another area, separate security area, that you may go to communications, military, and stuff like that. But this information, as I'm trying to correct myself, is still kind of public information about the format. If you look at maps of the White House, it's not a big deal. But if you go in straight and to the left, that's where you have to go through a security system, through a scanner. Then once you're processed by the officers there, the officers have more jurisdiction, more duties than the agents. The agents are somewhat restricted to a smaller area of protection. Although we were PPD, Presidential Protection Division, we're all part of the same thing. But we covered all the other stuff, which is the whole facility, the grounds. I call it the campus. And then sure enough, just recently I heard other staffers calling it the campus. So That's kind of an interesting deal there. But I'm kind of giving trying to get off camera a little bit so you can at least see the background. At that point in time, officers will remain. Agents may try to evacuate people, make sure all the staff are out, and they have to go to the next building or even out as far as the ellipse where their cars might be parked to get away from the facility. I'm sorry, back to your question. Everything has changed because of the administration. You know as well as I do.
Yeah.
When they put these people in office, and I've tried to give people a very analytical point of view about it, sometimes the president doesn't know what's going on. Like Jimmy Carter was surrounded by people that were globalists. Now, when Ford was in office, Vice President Nelson Rockefeller was there. So that means I protected him as well. So we did the perimeter, we did the EOB, which would be next door, that direction, kind of. And the Treasury Department building is on the 15th Street. Do you remember when Jen Psaki and Biden was in office at the time, and they were doing a press briefing in the press corps area, not the press corps area, but the actual press room. It was originally made into a swimming pool for John F. Kennedy. Then later Nixon took over and turned it into a bowling alley. And then they ripped it all out, turned it into the press corps area where they do the stand-up interviews and stuff. basically. They can still go next door to the EOB, Executive Office Building, and have a full area with seats that kind of go up at an angle to a staged area. And you could see that in a movie, 7 Days in May, with Burt Lancaster and another deal. That was a good movie. And Kirk Douglas, I think, was in that one. But bottom line is, all these people are in a controlled environment. But they had an actual, what looked like an F-15, fly right over the White House in between on Executive Avenue. So between those two buildings, the White House to the left, Executive Office Building, the former War Department back in the day, 45, 50s, and they call it the Eisenhower Building also, they flew a jet in a restricted area. And if I was working and I was carrying one of those machine guns that the gentleman's having right there, I would have been laying bullets all over it just to make a mark on it. Seriously. Because you don't know who had it, who was doing it. It's totally illegal. Anything under 500 feet back in those days when I was there, you could shoot at it. But 500 feet, think about it. A football field is 300 feet. What's another couple of hundred feet? That's nothing. We set off alarms on a special button that we activate. And if you're on a midnight shift, it's almost 6:30 in the morning, sun's barely coming up, and then you look up and there's a trail, a contrail of some sort, you might accidentally hit the button. It's happened. And it turns out it's a commercial flight going over the D.C. area, which should have been restricted back then as well, to go to National. Which, if you look on the White House live stream, you can see the White House in the background. Washington Monument in the rear, which would be behind this building at a distance. And that whole area, you'll see flights coming into National across the Potomac. You see, that's traveling at 5,000 feet and so forth, and they're coming down to a couple thousand feet before they land. But there's still jets that were flying 10, 15,000 feet, and you could still see them. If you could see it, it's close enough to drop a bomb. See what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and nobody gets that. Ever since the incidents in the last couple of years with the drones and the other activities, and I've reported back to my former agency before because I've seen drones flying around the North Portico. I won't give out the code words because that's an internal thing. But you could clearly see it right before the ambassador or the prime minister of India that came just a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
After I reported the drone that I saw, a miniature drone, you know, so big, doesn't take much, and they could fly it and get close, and it's got a camera on it, and if they got a camera, then they're looking inside. That's a violation. So somebody had a drone illegally flying around that area. I don't know who had it. Could have been Secret Service or could have been some kid off the street, like this guy that got caught years ago, and they had it either get close or at the White House or maybe even land, and they captured it. But ultimately what they did is they put up these white tarp-like screens all around the north portico of the entrance of the White House, which blocks off the view of anybody inside for security reasons. Because if you're a sniper and you could see somebody, then that means you could shoot them, basically. See what I mean? So it's a block. It's a visual block.
Yeah, if you can identify your target, yeah, you're clear to shoot.
Exactly. Now, behind, well, actually, if you're looking at me going forward towards you guys, would be north. And behind me is south. So if you go north across the street on the Pennsylvania Avenue side is Blair House, the old Blair House. And then next to it is the new Executive Office Building where the snipers would usually stage the area. I've been ordered to go on top of the EOB, which would be across the street at the EOB that way. And that was because I was an expert shot, distinguished expert, 300 out of 300, which means I'm supposed to be able to hit the eye out of a gnat at 100 yards or something. Joke. That's where Queen Elizabeth stayed. I protected her in 76. She came to the White House when Ford was there. They danced. She's short, you know. But all those people had to go through screening back then, but the screening processes have changed. And now you get the thing with the Hunter Biden. Now the Congress and the Senate have started to grow some cojones, how's your Spanish, and they've decided to bring out the stuff about the Hunter laptop and all the stuff that goes with it. And yet Congress hasn't got the huevos to go ahead and impeach people yet. I understand Marjorie Taylor Greene might, but it's all posturing. And I've been reaching out to Congress, the Senate, since 1995 and never got any help. And you can't get any help from people like Feinstein in California. She's a Democrat. And they're all being paid off by Chapo Guzman, who's a $250 billion billionaire. And Trump's only worth, what, $5 billion on paper? Just to give you an example of how rich this guy is. So he paid the Democrats to keep the borders open. And when I went to U.S. Customs, I put suggestions in about the license plate readers so you can have your gun hand-free, radioactive detection devices, so in case they drive through, they won't be able to bring in, you know, nukes, like suitcase nukes. I protected the former colonel of the KGB, Stanislav Lunyev, who wrote the book Through the Eyes of the Enemy. And that guy was all about the suitcase nukes back at the fall of the Berlin Wall and Gorbachev and Reagan stuff. Okay, that was after Jimmy Carter. So I've got all these other stories that intertwine with it, but If somebody wanted to, well, let me back up. I disagree with the opinions of these people who are former Secret Service. I forget the guy's name. It wasn't Dan Bongino. Certainly wasn't Gary Byrne. And Gary Byrne's a good guy. I would say try to get his book. I try to advise people to get secure communications. I have to plug this deaf protection thing, but I have this on my phone right now. I don't know if you can, there you go. If you call up and mention my name, it'll bounce it off a special satellite. Can't really see it too close because of the screen thing there. That's what everybody else uses is encryption. So once that's going through, these people making phone calls, they can intercept your call. They could drop the call. And if I get a drop call, you just call back. That's how that works. But these people are intercepting everything because it's Chinese controlled. Ask Dianne Feinstein. She had a driver that was Chinese agent. And all these other people who are married to Chinese, they're Chinese agents probably as well. I could name a few people. But Marjorie Taylor Greene went to the border. She only saw the border. I like Lauren Boebert. She was kicked out of that hearing or could not go into that hearing. They had a big red sign that it was restricted. And some guy was walking around, looked like an agent or something. And then he walks right in the door and goes inside. That's a very key element. If Lauren Boebert, who's a congressman or a senator, cannot get into a hearing and they said it was declassified, then they're all lying about something. Who's lying? They're either lying about the truth, they're lying about the lie to tell people whatever. And they had a Secret Service guy, I don't know where he worked at. If he was not a field agent, he might not have carried a gun. He might not have worked protection. He might not have done paper chase games where counterfeiting investigations and all the other investigations go with it, which I've done some of. But most of my background is protection, counterterrorism, embassy security, White House security, counterterrorism again, and protection of the president. Up close and personal, I protected Ford, Carter, Rosalind Carter, Amy Carter, Jack Ford, Steve Ford, Betty Ford, you name it, you know, all of them. Then you got Henry Kissinger, globalist, Dick Cheney, maybe, Nelson Rockefeller, Zbigniew Brzezinski, literally. I mean, he was doing an interesting interview with the media in the den right next to the Oval Office when Carter was in office. I think he still had the John F. Kennedy Resolute desk there, too. And that's a sacred desk to me and everybody else that knows. Kennedy used that desk. That was a gift from the British government from Queen Elizabeth, by the way, because of the USS Resolute, or HMS. I misspoke. HMS, which is Her Majesty's service, and the remnants of that was given by Kennedy, I think, as the story goes. And they made a desk out of the wood that was the good wood and made a desk with a presidential seal on the front. And that's the same desk that John and Caroline used to play around and hang around at the office when they were with Dad. Kind of a nice, interesting story. Anyway, I'm going off a little bit. But the Secret Service guy, we don't know if he was Technical Security Division or some other desk job. And yet he's claiming, well, he didn't believe that they had more than a certain amount of a package. Then it went from a description of a package to a bindle down to a gram. So they're making it look like it's the size of a gram of sugar that somebody accidentally dropped in a cubby, because they're supposed to empty all this stuff, put it into a cubby, or put it into a box that goes through the X-ray process like you would at an airport or at a courthouse or any of those other facilities. You have to empty your pockets, and someplace you can't wear any metal. So you have to strip down if you're going to court, almost. No metal. Don't take anything in your pockets. Just take all your stuff out except for keys and one ID, and that's about it, unless you have a medical thing of some sort. I'm seeing what looks like propaganda, lies, and cover stories in particular, because they're trying to cover up the fact that somebody got through. Now, how long ago was it that they just had the LGBTQ people all over the South Lawn, and some people were disrobing and dishonoring the whole idea of being on those sacred grounds? Those are the same areas I pulled guns on and arrested people. And if you go back to when Abraham Lincoln was in charge during the Civil War, they had military troops camped out all over the grounds in pup tents or whatever. People have been shot on the White House grounds, and some people have died. In fact, there was a case where I was going to take the North Portico, where the guy stands under the big light, the lamp. If you go back on the backside of your $20 bill, I brag about it. Have you ever met anybody that used to work there and they'd say, no, well, you just met me. I worked there. I used to work there. It's kind of a weird thing, but when you think about it, the backside of the $20 bill shows the White House. And before I took over on a midnight shift, the guy in front of me that I was going to relieve, he had to shoot a jumper. Turned out to be a black taxi driver by the name of Charles Plummer. And I guess he was upset about something. And he had a pipe, allegedly a pipe, I don't know how long it was, but in his hands. And he came from the other direction, over a fence, through the side, setting off alarms. And then the lights usually come on. That's the time when you already have your gun out, you're yelling and screaming, don't move. And if he keeps coming or if he tries to rush you, then you pull the trigger. Apparently, in that case, it was one shot to the sternum, you know, right to the chest. The training is two to the chest, one to the head, depending on what the individual or the person or the alien or whatever it is. And I could get into those interesting discussions as well. But that's with 125 grain hollow point treasure load. And those guys were shooting 357s back in the day. Now, you remember Dirty Harry would use a 44 Magnum. My God. Right. That would go through that guy and anybody else behind him and keep going until it hits something solid enough to stop it. So the premise behind changing the load from a 357, 158 grain would go down to 125, which means it's supposed to go in just enough to open up. And if it's a treasure load with a hollow point, it's supposed to open up. Well, in that case, it didn't open up the way it was supposed to, but it still did its job. So unfortunately, Mr. Plummer expired. But he was indicating a direct threat on the life of the president or the first family and the Secret Service officer at the time. So I took right over after that, and they had that place cleaned up, marked off, taped, searched, and cleaned up within the hour or less. And after that, you didn't realize what happened. Everything's gone. That's how fast they can clean up the area. Not like a Vince Foster incident, separate story. So can you imagine? Here's the key. Let me break it down. When first family members are walking around, they've got a Secret Service agent with them all the time. If some member of the first family decides to walk, park their car, or arrive, and they're going to go through that building or through that entrance, they're going to go through and they're going to bypass the security system because they're part of the actual persons that are protected. That means that if somebody wanted to put something in their pockets, they can walk right in. That's a danger and a threat to the highest level person, which is the president. Doesn't matter who's in office now, just the president, POTUS. You have to think about that. If a family member got into a really heated argument and made threats, like say Hillary would throw vases at Bill and hit him or bruise him or get a black eye or something, then right. You have the right and the authority to step in, intervene immediately because he cannot be injured even by the first family member, spouse or child or dependent or whatever.
Right.
That's how intricate things get weird, but depends on what's going on. And that requires special training, special briefings.
Did Bill have a stand-in to take a Hillary slap? I'm just kidding.
That's a good one. Hold on, time out, and then have a guy go with it. Yeah, that would be cool. The thing about the clones is are never ending. The left wing, the Democrats, these satanic groups are constantly throwing this stuff out at people because they think we're stupid or you're stupid. I'm not stupid. I refuse to. I'll dissect it in a quick second. No problem. And I'll tell you what I see and what's not there. But there are some strange things that do happen at the White House. But let's say a certain person is a family member and he got into a heated argument. And I know some situations like that. I want to sugarcoat because it's no reflection on the persons or the president, previous presidents, that they could separate that person or have them excused from access to the White House or a certain part of the White House if they kept up certain behaviors. They could be excluded by the Secret Service due to threats of some sort. If it got that bad, it would be highly unusual, but it could happen. In a case like this, you've got a guy who's a known druggie. He's a known felon by technicality. He didn't go to court and go to prison, probably because the president could have pardoned him. There's a technicality about being pardoned, and you have to get a conviction or not. And Joe Arpaio got pardoned by President Trump when he was in contempt of court on an immigration issue because Arpaio was enforcing the law. The judge had to hit him up with a contempt because he kept doing something against the federal policy not to do certain things on illegals in Arizona. As soon as the contempt charge came out, they got a call. Trump pardoned him. Therefore, he didn't spend an hour in a jail cell somewhere. That's an example of that. But if you look at what's going on, what if, I'll have to go ahead and say it. Hunter Biden was caught with a police credential, a police badge, a Treasury agent, OIG or otherwise. Mm-hmm. He was in possession of a handgun. That's illegal, although he's the son of a president. Protection-wise, he might be allowed to it, but he doesn't have a permit. But he's surrounded by Secret Service. So technically, even Reagan used to carry a gun, folks. But I'm sure he probably went to the range with Secret Service. And at least to make sure he was able to handle it in safety and all that. But sometimes it's just like a gimmick or maybe it's just a good luck piece or whatever he wants to do. But it's still dangerous because I reported Dick Cheney once for having an open blade. Sorry, Dick. You can't have an open Bowie knife in a case in your office in the West Wing where Kissinger used to have his office. Because anybody could go up to the, it wasn't even in a case. It was on a plaque hanging or sitting on a pedestal or a bracket or whatever. And it was dedicated from the guys from the Green Berets at North Bragg to Dick Cheney or something. And I'm looking at it and I go, yeah, that's an open blade. And I notified supervisors about it.
Right.
Anybody could walk into that room knowing there was a blade and run around stabbing people, and Secret Service would have to shoot the person carrying the blade. So I alleviated that problem. That's just one little deal that I've done. I mean, I've done lots of things. But it's so stupid to believe that somebody would have an open blade. And after I left the agency, I think they had a guy who was a black belt, alleged black belt, black guy with a samurai sword and some nunchucks, like Bruce Lee. And they outlawed those basically after 74. After Bruce Lee died, because it was a law that they put out, because you could kill somebody with it. But if I was there, I could handle the martial arts aspect and just either try to talk to a crazy person or take his nunchucks and then his blade would be next, which gets into that status of evaluating these crazy people like Hinckley. But Hinckley's right. out in the open. He got released in March this year, if I remember correctly, March. Mm-hmm. And if you remember G. Gordon Liddy?
Yes.
He died the same day that he got out. Now, that's weird. That's like, serendipity or weird stuff. I met G. Gordon Liddy by mistake in San Diego, and he was over at this adult entertainment place across, not too far from the post office where I was at. And as soon as I saw him, I recognized him. He's bald. He's got his mustache, dyed mustache. You couldn't miss him, or at least I couldn't. So I had a business card, private investigator, former Secret Service, whatever. Pulled right in, parked at a distance, a safe distance, not to scare anybody. Got out, pulled my card out. I'm holding my card. You can see my hands are empty or whatever. And I'm saying, hey, G-Man, John Carman, former Secret Service. I came in right after Nixon left in August, 74, Ford and Carter. So I go up to him, shook his hand, got to shake his hand, gave him my business card, talked to him briefly. I said, hey, look, I didn't know you were here. I just happened to be coming by. I've got your book that he had. I'm remiss and remember the title of his book right now. But it was about the G-Man, his whole history and stuff. You know, it was very interesting. Go ahead.
Hey, we're almost to the top
Another
of the
break.
Hour.
Yeah. Sure. I'll try to close it. So I went to go get the book and bring it back for a signature, but he was gone by the time I got back, 20 minutes later or whatever it was. So. I'm waiting for the music.
Oh, no, I understand. Yeah, it came in under at 57 and it's
57
a second, and then
yeah, we got about a minute.
Well, here it goes. See?
Oh, I love your music stuff too.
Yeah, that's thanks to the folks working behind the scenes at revolution.radio. We'll be right back, folks.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war
is coming. And it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer back in the saddle with special thanks to John Carman for filling in. I had an excellent review of my cardiac surgery situation 4 months after the event. John, I'm just so delighted you could step in today. I bet you knocked it out of the park over this cocaine scandal in the White House, because it's just disgraceful how they're covering up what happened there. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I was just changing the screenshot there so people could get a different angle, because I showed them what the West Wing looked like. Now they could see what the South Lawn, where the helicopter lands. I've actually pulled my gun on a guy. I was describing that story earlier. But for people to be allowed to come in, they can smuggle all kinds of stuff in. I mean, I worked at the border at U.S. Customs later for 15 years, so my abilities have been super enhanced with every agency I went through. If I went back to work at Secret Service, I would scramble all this stuff and redo it and start it from a different angle, because there's so many people being allowed to come in and carry contraband. They could smuggle it on their body, just like at the border. They can hide it or secrete it in a body cavity or something else. And that is a national security issue, because that means an assassin could disguise themselves as a visitor or something, and they have. And I've arrested people in the White House, too, on tour lines. So the powder, they're covering up. I don't know if you heard the part where I was describing another ex-agent or an ex-Secret Service employee. I'm not sure what his status was basically trying to soft touch it or defend it, acting like, oh, there was nothing there. We didn't have enough to test. It was probably less than a gram of coke. So it was a testable amount, and after that, they just throw it away, you know. And then it's like, no, I think they may have had more than that. But the point is, somebody still brought something in. What if it was a biological weapon? What if it was anthrax? What if it was, fentanyl? If you take fentanyl, one pill will kill more than one person. If you take a bunch of pills, grind it up, I'm not suggesting you do it, because you wouldn't be able to touch it with your skin anyway, and they mixed it with a powder to a liquid. Can you imagine? Somebody could even bring it in like a nasal spray that I have to use, a nasal spray, and go around spraying doorknobs or something with it. See what I mean? In fact, that was an assassination technique that was used against one of the North Korean leaders before Kim Jong-un, or it was a relative, where a female, I'll use a prop, I'm going to use this sock, but still, she came up with a scarf just to touch him, just to get up to touch him. That's all it took. He was dead within a couple hours. See what I mean? So
yeah,
these people are so outrageously criminal, and yet I was describing, and I've got the actual documents to show it, Hunter was arrested for having a gun, bought illegally. He had possession of a badge and a credential of some sort, or at least a badge, to implicate maybe he had a badge and a gun, maybe he was covered. Even Secret Service allowed him to be in a hotel where he had alleged prostitutes or other persons using drugs, and they would call him up on their cell phone, you know, like this. Hunter, we need to know that you're okay. You need to come out. You need to get rid of these people or whoever they are. You need to come out. We need to see that you're okay. Okay, I'm doing it right now. I'm doing it. He's cooperating. He's acting like he's compliant. That was a lie. What they should have done is go up with the key that they should have had in their possession and open the door and walk in on him and clear out the mess that's going on there. But see, this is the problem. I was never briefed to protect against criminal activity by a first family member or even the president. If you watch that movie Last Boy Scout, that's Bruce Willis playing an ex-Secret Service agent that actually broke in on a president that was beating up a sex worker. That's the term that they're using nowadays. It softens the blow. It's not a hooker, it's not a prostitute, it's a sex worker, you know, soft words. And then he got off because he had to hit somebody in the jaw. They have no idea of what's going on with all these things. You know what I mean? So every time we hear a story, I'm waiting for the cover story right after it. And they're still covering up, even under the administration, which means Secret Service is no longer neutral. They are politically connected through the administration. And if I was the new president, I'd be firing some people at the top, literally, because Secret Service doesn't take orders from the president. How many times have you heard the term, and I've said it once before, oh, you worked under President so-and-so. No, that's not exactly correct. I'm Secret Service. I don't work under a president. I'm the one that protects him, and I could grab him by the seat of the pants and haul him away to protect him and cover his head and all these other things. But it's just a terminology. It's under the administration. We're not under their administration. We don't leave as soon as the president leaves. We stay there. So there's a lot of people that stay. Any questions?
Yes.
Good to see you, Jim.
Ought not this crime, this mystery, to have been solved in a matter of hours, if not less? John, yeah. It seems to me this whole thing is a sham.
It is. And look at it from a law enforcement officer or an agent's point of view, is that if you or somebody else got arrested and you had a gram of cocaine, you're going to go to jail. If you had a gram of meth, if you had a pound of meth, I've arrested people who had hidden on their body a pound of meth, and that guy's probably still serving 20 years right now. Can you imagine? So they're allowing these people the levity because of their political connection to violate laws, and they're covering it up. And unfortunately, I'm ashamed to know that the Secret Service is covering up for their criminal activity. And those guys took an oath of office to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. And they could testify in court just like a guy that I knew testified regarding the Monica Lewinsky visits to Bill Clinton at the Oval Office area. What they did was in the den right next to it, but not in the Oval Office. But those guys are subject to subpoenas, too, and it's not covered under executive privilege. They think they're immune. There's a lot of stuff that might be covered under executive privilege and national security. They're not immune from the law. They can be arrested. That's what people are being lied to about. See what I mean? And
yes,
the Secret Service
yes.
would be the ones to do it. How about the search at Mar-a-Lago? Let's tie that in just a little bit. When the FBI, with their papers, waving papers around, oh, we've got a search warrant for Mar-a-Lago. We have to come in. Secret Service does not take orders from President Trump. They don't have to let him in. And if I was in charge at the gates, I'd tell them to go pound sand and get their cars out of the way of my view because it's blocking my view. They don't have the authority to come in. They don't have top secret clearance. And it doesn't matter. The attorney general himself has to get permission from the president under immunity laws. And when the president takes something that's classified or not, it's declassified automatically. If he could take it home, it's declassified, and he already declassified the material. Allegedly, the story is when Biden was not president, he's got boxes and boxes and boxes in a garage that was not even secure, not under SCIF, which is a security procedure in a secured area with a special vault, stuff like that. They didn't do it. So there, it's rules for thee and not for me. You've heard that one, right?
Well, it's just the opposite of what we expect in terms of American ideals, principles. The very idea of the rule of law is that everyone receives equal treatment under the law. We're not supposed to be giving political preferences or making special exceptions because they're rich, powerful, or well-connected. Exactly. And yet that's what we've seen with this administration throughout since coming into office, further confirmed by all the attacks on his leading political opponent, which is what we expect of a banana republic, not the United States of America.
Yeah, it's like a communist regime. People don't get it. And the satanic Democrats, what they do is they stall you. They make you wait. Even that guy, Alvin Bragg, fat, P-H-A-T, fat Alvin Bragg, a New York prosecutor, black guy. He says he doesn't care if it's no case. He doesn't care. He just wants to make a charge so he can get his name mentioned in history that he's the first prosecutor in American history to charge a former president of the United States, Donald Trump. They don't care.
But because it's all contrived, he's going to go down in a black book of infamy, not in some celebrated context. I mean, it's outrageous.
Exactly. But that's the whole point. They don't care as long as they get their name mentioned, however way that they do it. And then they take the case from New York. Even Ron DeSantis said he wasn't going to allow any kind of shenanigans going on in Florida, in his state, and he would refuse any service, any kind of service, legal service, or extradition ideas of a president. What I don't get is Donald Trump is a former president, and there are security issues related to him flying on a plane, landing at an airport, at a scheduled thing to get this guy into court. They're all security violations. That means everybody else knows about it. And they could call up all the assassins in the world like they did in Dallas and have maybe 8 shooters to be there. There's probably over a dozen, but we don't know about all that. But that's what they could do. See? So they're not following the guidelines under Secret Service guidelines to protect. They're allowing them to go in. And the biggest thing, the biggest lie is that, well, they didn't photograph him. They didn't do a mugshot. They may have fingerprinted him. They may have booked him. And Trump's got a lot of huevos. I mean, he's really standing up to it, but he didn't even have to go through that. He doesn't even have to go to court under certain parameters. But it's the idea that they're forcing him to move, show up in another town. It's a big show. It's a dog and pony show, folks. That's what they're doing. They're trying to show that they can do something to that. And after he gets back in office, if he does, then he should do things. I mean, he failed to do a lot of things that I would have done under like 300 to 400,000 arrests. But he didn't realize, maybe he didn't realize how bad it really, really is. I could go off on different theories about that because I would have certainly made a lot of arrests to clean out all these corrupt Democrats. But they keep playing their game. You know, now they're going to take another step, an encroachment. And edging, they keep encroaching to see how far they can push it. They need to just say, no, it stops here. You know, where's the Supreme Court? You know, all these other people. Nothing. No results on the election. Nothing. See what I mean? They're stalling.
Yes, yes, yes. I want to shift gears, and we will be taking calls at the bottom of the hour, 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Today we're supposed to be celebrating the Apollo moon landings, but the fact is, we know we didn't go. Mm-hmm. Let me just review some of the bidding, and I have put up on my Twitter, at Jim Fetzer, a link to one of my multiple presentations on the moon landing. You can find others online, including shows I've done with David Zublik and no doubt Scott Bennett as well. This is from May of 2020. But we not only have all the records of the photographs that show a host of issues, because you have intersecting shadows running at diverse lines. Earth is so far from the sun that if we were actually talking about the moon, all the lines would be parallel. They couldn't intersect, but they're intersecting. We have photographs where we see an astronaut coming off of the dark side, the side away from the sun of the lander, and yet he's perfectly illuminated. We even have a photograph where you look at the footprints in the moon dust, and my belief is that the moon dust, because the moon has no oxygen and no moisture, that moon dust would no more be capable of retaining a boot print or a footprint or a rover track than the sands of the Sahara. Yet we have some photographs with tracks, other photographs with no tracks. Something's wrong. They can't both be right. But one of these photographs where you have astronaut boot prints, there's a boot print of a sneaker from someone on the set that was captured there. I mean, it's simply absurd. It turns out one of the photographs that's supposed to be of the sun, a bright light, turns out under analysis to be a light bulb, a very large light bulb that's being bubbled. We did not have sufficient propulsion power to escape low Earth orbit. We did not have navigational capacity. Indeed, Dennis Camino and I have discussed this repeatedly. And what they claim to be the computer that was used to navigate to the moon and back, a distance of 250,000 miles, it wasn't even a functional computer.
Oh, you know the size of the computer? It was 160 gigabytes, which is no bigger than this iPad or this.
There's more computing power in your cell phone today than they had for their alleged trip to the moon.
Exactly.
We know, in fact, if they'd actually got there, that they couldn't have come back because they wouldn't have had a fuel supply. You may have noticed, John, that when Elon Musk talks about making a trip to the moon, he says at the zero point where the moon's gravity offsets Earth's gravity and you could have a space station there in orbit, He wants to stock it up with hundreds of thousands of gallons of fuel, because if we had gone, we would not have had the capacity to return. I mean, the rocket was not only ridiculously small in relation to what would have been required. Werner von Braun said, you need three spaceships the size of the Empire State Building. Well, we didn't have even one.
There you go.
And when you look at the separation between the lander and what's supposed to be the ascent vehicle, it is minuscule. I mean, it's just preposterous. This is not to get into the physical obstacles, such as the Van Allen radiation belts.
Didn't
have protection. It would have required something like 6 feet of lead, John, and obviously not having, you know, the propulsion power, we could not have put it together. We couldn't have saved their lives. They couldn't have survived. Get this. This is something most people do not know.
You know, I've got some points, too, if I could interject. I got a DARPA contact who was on the 20 and back program, and I was in Japan, I think, when they actually did the landing in 69, and they prepared that for a potential thing with Nixon, who was president at the time. But are you familiar with the guy who was a technician that was ordered to airbrush out all of the stars in the sky?
No, tell us, John. That's another of the absurdities, because as Soviet cosmonauts who went up in low Earth orbit, they were talking about the spectacular stars in the sky.
Yes.
From the moon, it would have blazed with points of light, not twinkling, because of lack of atmosphere. That brings about refraction that causes the phenomena we see when we look up at the heavens from Earth. But it would have been ablaze. And they committed a blunder during their first press conference. One of the astronauts said that the sky was totally black when it should have been precisely the opposite. So you're telling me, John, we even know what tech was ordered to clean the sky of stars.
They would have known exactly their location by looking at the star systems, exactly where they were sitting at. But let me point one thing out that most people don't think about. When they landed on the moon, who was filming it?
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. How could you have the camera already set up there to capture?
That's like
stepping onto
thing.
The moon for the first time and claiming, you know, one small step for man, one giant step for mankind, and it be videoed.
I've seen
by
it.
A camera already on the surface of the moon. If this were not the first step onto the moon, you're absolutely right, John. This kind of stuff is killer stuff. Here's another. I think you're gonna like. This is a relatively recent proof in terms of the history of this issue. Comes from the temperature the spacecraft would have had to endure had we gone to the moon. Now, there's a difference between temperature and heat, because, say, a candle has a certain temperature, but you could pass your hand through a candle and it not be affected because you don't allow your hand to heat up to the same temperature as a candle. So it's a question of the duration of the spaceflight through various levels of the stratosphere. Get this. In NASA admits we never went to the moon on ForbiddenKnowledgeTV.net, 21 September 2017. We learned that the melting points of the materials of which it was made, aluminum alloy, stainless steel, titanium, nickel steel alloy, and heat-resistant glass. But their melting points would have been exceeded in passing through the thermosphere en route to the moon. A spacecraft made of these materials would have melted in flight. Listen to this. Temperatures in the thermosphere up to 400 miles above Earth's surface, which can reach from 932 degrees Fahrenheit to 3,632 degrees Fahrenheit, for example, exceed the melting point of the materials in which the spacecraft is made. Get this, aluminum alloy, 671 degrees Fahrenheit. Yes, I'd say it would have been exceeded. Stainless steel, 2,750 degrees Fahrenheit. Titanium, 3,034 degrees Fahrenheit. Nickel steel alloy, 2,647 degrees Fahrenheit. Heat-resistant glass, 1,400 degrees Fahrenheit. Well, if you can get up to 3,632, you're going to melt a spacecraft in flight, John. How bad is that?
That's the same ideology as the magnesium that was used in thermite bombs that would melt the structure, the steel structure, or titanium aircraft material at the Twin Towers. And I'm EOD trained. I was with the Metro Arsenal Strike Team in San Diego as well. But I have that training background. So 3,000 degrees is what thermite melts at and melts steel. Exactly that. So they've got the material that would melt through all that. And yet they claim that they went there. So that's a good point. I'll have to ask my DARPA guy on a discussion on that point as well.
The catch about thermite, John, is that, yes, it is incendiary. It does bring about these very high temperatures. It's used to weld together railroad tracks, for example, or disable howitzers. You drop a thermite grenade down the barrel of a howitzer and it fuses all the mechanism together to render it useless. But that the explosive force in relation to concrete or steel of which the Twin Towers were made is a function of its detonation velocity. Now, the detonation velocity is usually measured in relation to TNT, which is the universal standard. But the fact is that in order to destroy concrete, you'd have to have a detonation velocity of 3,200 meters per second. In order to destroy steel, 6,100 meters per second. Highest attributed detonation velocity for nanothermite, John, is only 895 meters per second, meaning You could not have blown apart a twin tower with nanothermite and destroyed the concrete or the steel. In fact, Niels Harrit, who was an associate professor emeritus of chemistry at Copenhagen University, estimated, because the power of nanothermite is only like 1/13 that of TNT, mm-hmm. it would have required 29,000 metric tons of nanothermite to take apart a twin tower. That is simply absurd, John. I mean, the nanothermite hypothesis doesn't cut it. And we have those photographs, you know, of pillars at the angle that were cut with thermite, but those came during the cleanup. Those did not come during the destruction of the buildings, which appears to have been done using mini nukes in the sub-basement. It's a whole story for another day, but I'm just making the point that while you're correct about the burning temperature of thermite or nanothermite, it doesn't have the explosive force to destroy a twin tower.
That's why they cleaned it up immediately afterwards. That's the thing people need to recognize. When they do a cleanup, they're cleaning up the evidence to show that they didn't see the thermite packages or the remnants of thermite and the detonation. That's a demolition. It's a building demolition. That's what they do all the time.
Yes. Here's an hilarious refutation of the idea we went to the moon. It appeared in the Telegraph out of the UK. Help NASA solve its space poop problem and win $30,000. NASA wants your help to solve a rather complicated issue affecting the comfort and safety of the astronauts. After all, when you gotta go, you gotta go, and sometimes you gotta go in a total vacuum. Astronauts have previously relied on adult nappers while wearing their launch and entry suits, a temporary solution that's only good for around a day. Get that, around a day. Mm-hmm. NASA is now sponsoring the Space Poop Challenge, through which it is seeking the public's help to devise an in-suit waste management system for astronauts to use up to 144 hours at a time. The point is, those trips took 7 or 8 days. This proves the whole scheme of going to the moon was nothing but a gigantic pile of space poop. Back after the break with John Carman, and we'll take your call.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen, with host Zen Garcia.
at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, right after the we're open for business for calls.
Hey, you know, that was a good point about the surgical nukes, because, you know, you have radioactive tipped ordnance and or rockets and certain types of rounds, tank rounds, 50 caliber, 30 calibers, whatever, millimeter cannons on jets and stuff. I don't know if you caught it, but I went to the USS Midway in San Diego, number 41, with some friends. That's why I was describing that special scanning system that they had for searching people. But it was a good up-close and personal view of a lot of the equipment and jets, Corsairs, F-4s, A-6s, you name it. You know, all these different planes and jets on the aircraft carrier. I believe they did use surgical nukes at a small amount, just enough to cause the demolition of the building, and the thermite combined would melt a lot of the structure. They had pictures of the side.
Yeah, it turns out those thermite droplets, or what Steve Jones claimed were, appear to be caused by an interaction between the steel and the carbon in the steel and the aluminum cladding that was on the external surface of the building. So you had what looked like these thermite chips, but appear to have had a different causation. Now, thermite or nanothermite might have been tossed into the mix for special purposes. I'm open to that. I'm less convinced that Judy's on the right track with her directed energy weapons. We have a 300-ton steel assembly ejected at a 45-degree angle over 600 yards into the Winter Garden that couldn't have been brought about by dews or by thermite, but which required a massive source of energy internal to the building. And of course, there's no massive stack of debris after. I mean, we hear the word collapse all the time, but it's a false depiction. It was a very clever psyop to have the Harley guy come out and say, when everyone's scratching their head, well, what happened, and give us his immediate explanation. Oh, the fires from the jet fuel must have burned so hot it caused the steel to weaken or melt, and then you had the cascading effect of upper floors causing the lower floors to crash.
Mm-hmm.
That's refutable by, for example, the study of a retired high school math, of physics, and chemistry teacher, Chuck Baldwin, who calculated for every unit of downward force, there were like 199 units of upward force. In other words, they ignore the resistance. Where John Skilling, who was a chief engineer of the firm that designed the building, said it, each floor was built with a safety factor of 20, meaning actually they were designed to hold 20 times the amount of load they were going to be bearing. And it's just inconsistent with the pile driver theory. It's not remotely tenable. But if the buildings had collapsed, and that did happen with the third structure, Building 7, which was 47 floors, it would have been the tallest building in some 35 states had it not been surrounded by these two behemoths at 110. It turns out we know from experience with controlled demolitions that they leave a residue equal to about 12% of the height of the original. Well, 12% of 47 floors is 5.5, and that's exactly what we have. In some photographs, you can see that 5.5 floor pile of debris from Building 7. But with the Twin Towers, 12% of 110 would have been like 13.5 floors, and John, it isn't there. I had Father Frank Morales from St. Mark's Episcopal Church, who was a first responder, on my radio shows on two different occasions. He explained how the towers were destroyed to or even slightly below ground level. Well, there would have had to have been 13.5 floors had they collapsed. Instead, they were converted into millions of cubic yards of very fine dust. And incidentally, conversion into very fine dust is a signature of the use of nuclear devices to destroy buildings and other materials. So there you have further confirmation. And as you heard in that announcement about, America nuked on 9/11, the U.S. Geological Survey did dust studies at 35 locations in Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. I think it becomes increasingly difficult to deny. And then when you look at the pattern of medical maladies suffered, you had all kinds of unusual cancers, multiple myelonia, leukemia, esophageal, pancreatic cancer, in a pattern, John, that replicated what happened at Chernobyl when they had the nuclear meltdown there. And of course, that's actually located in Ukraine. And the Ukrainians, of course, have threatened to bring about a nuclear explosion at the Zaporizhia. So far, it has not come to pass. I hope that cooler heads have prevailed, because it would bring about, a contamination cloud that would bring about massive death over areas other than those they want to target, so far as I can see, that hasn't happened yet. But they're growing increasingly desperate because Russia is prevailing handily over Ukraine. They're running out of troops. They're having to construct elderly and young kids and put them on the lines where they're probably decimated. It's a slaughter. And the Russians have a 10-to-1 advantage in artillery. And, of course, we know Biden sent the cluster bombs. And, by the way, those were in the form of 155 howitzer munitions loaded not with conventional explosive but with cluster bombs, because the U.S. has run out of a supply of 155 howitzer munition. In fact, Mike Adams 6 months ago was pointing out Ukraine was going to lose because the West would be unable to provide the munitions necessary to maintain a conventional war, and that's exactly how it's played out. It would take the U.S. a year to two to get a munition assembly line in place for those howitzer shells. So meanwhile, Russia's decimating Ukraine. They're replying with the cluster bombs. They've just begun using their cluster munitions, which are banned by an international treaty signed by over 100 countries, John, but not, alas, by the U.S., Ukraine, or Russia.
Yeah, you'd think it was a violation of the Geneva Convention,
Yeah.
People don't remember those things. And if you've seen the damage that those things did, I happened to catch a news brief on the description. They show these a half-open shell casing of a cannon ordnance of cluster bombs, kind of like the flechette darts that they used in Vietnam out of a cannon of a tank. And those flechettes were so big, and they had wings on it, is solid metal. And if they shot out one cannon round, it would level a whole town. Everything from 2 to 5 feet would be dead, And with these cluster bombs, which are a violation of the Geneva Convention, I'll say that again, not to mention whatever Nuremberg laws, the crimes against humanity. that kind of thing. So Biden is fed into that. He's violating crimes against humanity.
He's perpetrating crimes against humanity. Absolutely right. He's violating international law. But remember, it's not Biden. This is actually a proxy war between Israel, Israel and Russia. Israel wants Ukraine to be the new Israel, and they don't want to give up a square inch. Not Ukraine, not the Donbass. Russia, of course, will never relinquish. So we have a titanic struggle between an immovable force, Russia, and an immovable object, Russia, and an irresistible force, Israel, throwing everything at it possible, now cluster bombs. They, our own Congress, of course, is Israeli-occupied territory. Our media is completely under the control of Israel. I you know, talk about 100 execs from CNN, 100 execs from NBC, 100 execs from from the New York Times, every one of whom is a dual U.S. Israeli citizen. It's outrageous.
I was just going to mention that, because if you go back, Michael Chertoff, Tom Ridge era, when DHS came in, and you have to think about it. If you take an oath, like I've taken, preserve, protect, defend the Constitution of the United States, et cetera, against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and then you go out and you get a dual citizenship with Israel, that means if you take their oath of office or their oath of loyalty, it supersedes the other one. So how can you have a dual citizenship like some people of certain countries? So it's common practice. Even Trump was allegedly to have taken a dual citizenship, or sometimes they give you honorary stuff. He's the first president of the United States that actually moved the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, which is interesting. What did all the other presidents not do? See? It's weird. But where's the loyalty go? Does it go to the Queen of England, or does it go to Israel, which is where the Khazarian Jews and the Khazarian Mafia and the Ashkenazis, they're all creating these wars on their benefit to have proxy wars. You know, that's the whole issue. They create proxy wars. The Rothschilds, the Soroses, and all these other people are creating these things to make money and kill. And they don't care if you're dead. They just want to keep killing and killing. And I think Bibi Netanyahu, who's Arabic, not Jewish technically, I've had communication with those people because I used to protect the embassy in Washington. They had the biggest following of the COVID shot back in their area, which means they had more participation. But there's no telling what they put in it. But anyway.
Yeah, those are excellent points. Excellent points. The U.S. is warning of false flag attacks as Russia targets civilian ships off Ukraine, but that's just propaganda. You know, there's a massive assault on Odessa. Russia has basically locked up the Black Sea. They're denying those grain shipments, which were being used to transport war-related materials. Mm-hmm. The West has totally sold out and has no credibility, which means, John, there cannot be a negotiated end to this war. It can only be resolved by force, because the West has abused its past agreements with Russia as a form of deception to allow Ukraine to beef up. I mean, it's just outrageous. And even Angela Merkel, the former chancellor of Germany, admitted as much, that the Minsk agreements were conducted in bad faith in order to allow Ukraine to beef up with NATO-supplied weaponry. How could Russia ever accept any agreement whatsoever with the West when they displayed such a degree of perfidy?
Well, you know, I understand that Ukraine never did get recognized as a sovereign nation through the United Nations process. And if that's true, and I believe it is true, then Ukraine is still part of the Soviet Union, former USSR, or the Russian Federation of today. And I've had Russian guests on, you know that. I've had a guy that's in the Ukraine area and another guy who's a colonel in the police and military over there routinely. And Nick Mancuso is a friend of mine over in Paris, France. I just talked to him yesterday. And we kick this stuff around all the time, and yet they keep encroaching. Putin he's holding back. He knows what he has. Their weaponry is far superior. he's showing superior attitude of holding off on retribution or attacking because he knows what he can do. He's trying to give these people a way out, and they're just faltering and they're failing. Zelensky, Vladimir Zelensky, is not being followed. They don't care about him. They used him. He's an actor. That's all he is. It's all a big act, a big ATM, trillions of dollars thrown into this fake war. And the American tax slaves, not taxpayers, folks, you're tax slaves if you are into that system, then that's where that money goes. And he just did it. He just took off more than 10% for the big guy thing. That money's being used for illegal cocaine and drug smuggling, adrenochromes, children, trafficking. I got kicked off Telegram because I reported a solicitation out of the Ukraine for pedophile, Ukrainian pedophile stuff. You can't even describe it. It's so outrageous. And pedophile related to adrenochromes and body parts, literally. So they're involved in some really satanic stuff that's very sick, that it would outrage any human on this planet. And yet they're still putting into it. It's the big lie, you know, and people don't get that. They're so lying about everything every day. Even when Jean-Pierre gets up there, she lies. Even when the guy from the Department of Defense, the four-star general, lies, and the Department of State guy goes up there, it's all cover stories like the CIA. They're authorized to lie. And once you realize Barr, Pompeo, and all the rest, they've been ordered, or they order them to lie, they do it. So they don't care. They're only interested in their paycheck. That's it.
Yeah, I think that's all right. But even more so, you got the zealots, the Zionists, who really want to control the whole of planet Earth out of Ukraine as a new Israel, driving it all, which is why you have the absurdity of a, even though he's a fake president with a phony election, declares the U.S. is in this for as long as it takes. Well, you know, how much sacrifice of our resources are we going to dispose, you know, not helping the American people? We don't seem to give a damn about the American people or our southern borders, but we are giving our all to defend Ukraine's borders. The situation geopolitically is completely absurd unless you understand that Israel is calling the shots. The Babylon Bee had a recent piece, satire, of course, of Zelensky calling up 3,000 American reserves, because in the Pentagon saying, well, if President Biden listens to Zelensky, we're certainly going to follow his words and, you know, do everything he wants. And that's basically how it stands. Zelensky is a stand-in, you might as well say, for Bibi Netanyahu, because Israel wants Ukraine. And the U.S., NATO, the West is going to do everything it can to give it to Israel. That's what's going on, big picture. Don't let yourself be deceived.
You know, look at all the bioweapons labs that they lied about in the United States. And they've encroached on their country, and that's illegal. No different when John F. Kennedy was blocking the Cuban Missile Crisis back in Cuba back in the 60s. It's the same thing. They illegally put bioweapons in underground bases, underground tunnels, and they're doing all these things to figure out how to get a DNA weapon, even if it's an injectable, to kill off white Russians. They could do it. That's alien technology. It's current technology. If they know what your DNA makeup is, if you're a blood type and they can match up a certain blood type, they can find out what the blacks, the Asians, the Jews, Native Americans, Indonesians, all kinds of indigenous, whatever, any person on the planet that's here, they could classify them and figure out what kind of a substance they can inject, put in your food or water, and they would kill you off. That's the easy way to do it without a nuke. See?
You're absolutely right. You know, the vax, the stories I've heard is they're trying to put the vax in everything, in lettuce, tomatoes, yes. You know, even in beef steer. So that it's going to be inescapable. And the death rate from the vax is turning out to be absolutely staggering. I think in the UK, if you've had a couple of shots, you know, taking the boosters, it's going up to 50% of those who take two or three boosters are dying from the vax. But of course, because it attacks the immune system, the causes can be all sorts of things that your immune system prior to the vax was able to contain. But once it's taken out by the vax, they run rampant and you're dead. In fact, I think the average survival rate after the vax is, before it claims your soul, is like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So the CDC had a policy of declaring that for the first 2 weeks after you've had the vax, you're still regarded as unvaccinated, which is just a horrific form of deception, because it means they're giving totally fabricated results for deaths for the unvaccinated in relation to the vaccinated, especially in that crucial 2 week window.
That's where I started talking about the ivermectin, folks, because I started doing the horse paste before Joe Rogan or Alex Jones. Here we go. But I took the 12 milligram pills, ordered them from India. I actually had a prescription from a doctor in the United States for 15 milligrams. That was it, one dose. But I've got blister packs. You can get them cheap. If you email me, you can go to IndiaMart, but I can give you further email information. You can take that stuff. They got the Nobel Peace Prize in the 80s, and it kills parasites, junk in your system, which would actually block and get rid of the parasites and the stuff, even cancers. I'm not a doctor, but that's what they don't want us to talk about. Pfizer controls all these things and all the pharmaceutical companies, so they don't want you to know. Fenbendazole, in Australia, it's BB46. You can Google that, BB46 Australia or cancer treatment. And they've been doing this for years. We've been scammed for years. You can take a simple pill and get rid of your stuff and be okay and healthy, and they don't want us to know that. They blocked it. Even Biden tried to block it by giving DEA orders. Customs is the lead agency of everything that comes into the country, not DEA.
That's great stuff, John. Great stuff. Tell us more as we're...
Yeah, we've got about 8 minutes.
The conclusion of our conversation today, where people can find this stuff, where they can learn more of your work, about your own show. Lay it on.
Yeah, they can contact me at john.a.carman@gmail.com. Of course, I go on the Awake Nation on Mondays, usually. Been on with you, and I'm honored to be on with you as a friend. And on occasion, I think I went to Ground Zero recently and a couple other ones. But yet, nobody's responding from Congress. I'm still trying to get help from Congress, and I don't see it happening. We get the 4-minute warning. And that's something for people to realize. Congress doesn't care about you or me. I'm a whistleblower, and I've been damaged. I don't even get retirement. I don't even get Social Security, and I'm 70 years old. Go imagine that one. And I was authorized through an award to get Social Security 10 years ago in 2013. And I just had a hearing last month on the 13th of June, and they haven't sent me a decision yet, and they said they were going to send it in 2 weeks. Here's a law I want people to write down. 18 U.S.C. Section 4, misprison of felony. And if you've talked to Scott Bennett, he and I are the only ones that pretty much talk about that code. If you reveal information of a violation of law or a felony, and you tell a public official like a judge, a senator, a congressman, a police officer, a federal agent, OIG, a U.S. attorney, a prosecutor in the law, and they fail to take action, they are then guilty of a felony under the law, and they could be complicit for not taking action. 18 U.S.C. Section 4, misprision of felony. It's kind of spelled funny when you look at misprison, but it's different. They don't like to hear people quoting the laws. And when you know the law, that means that the Congress and the Senate don't have the power over you to lie to you. Every time you hear somebody being, that they say they need to be held accountable, they're not being held accountable. And if I was in charge, you're going to arrest them, charge them, put them in prison, and if they get convicted, they're going to spend a long time or worse. 18 U.S.C. 2381 is high treason. I don't think you're going to see anybody going up, because there's a 3, 4, or 5-tier justice or injustice system. The rich, the Khazarians, the rich elites all over the world They control what's going on, and nobody seems to understand it. Voting is a waste of time. You remember they used to have a voting process back in 1775, 1776, and you could do it with a single finger. That's how they voted. You know, they got rid of the bad guys by doing that. In this country, they think you're stupid because you'll go back and use a Dominion server. It's crazy. Go ahead, Jim.
No, John, I slightly disagree insofar as we have to ensure that our vote counts.
Yeah.
Not abandon voting, but ensure our vote counts. Get rid of electronic voting machines. Go for paper ballots and hand counts. Go for ID, voter ID. You have to have an ID to drive. You have to have an ID to buy alcohol. Go ahead.
I gave Trump the exact same suggestion about that because in Mexico, when they come across, they have a voter registration ID that's verified through their address, through their residence, through other information, so it's validated. And I suggested that to Trump before, during, and after he was in office, and nobody picked up on it because the Democrats, the CIA, and the deep state use that as a tool to control everything. So that means they put in whatever CIA puppet they want in other countries, and if you don't follow suit, they get rid of them. But Americans think, just like Jimmy Carter goes to other countries to see that they had valid elections. They've got elections they could do on an electronic device. They could send you to vote on your cell phone, and you could vote and get the results within the hour. They could overturn a country's political structure in an hour. They don't want you to know that. And you said it right. But if we have to go back to doing ballots again, they're still going to control it. They're going to throw away the ballot, and another guy's going to write down what he puts down on the numbers and throw the ballot away and cover it up again, you know.
John, I can't thank you enough for filling in for me today, my friend. I'm very grateful to you. And everyone, check it out, especially how we know we didn't go to the moon on Twitter. For example, at Jim Fetzer, this is something you deserve to know. The government isn't going to tell, isn't going to share. You deserve to know the truth. Meanwhile, have a great weekend this weekend. Spend time with your family, the people you care about and love.
Thank you.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hand of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their